Hey, family. I love this house. Man, it's full of so many amazing people, eh? Yeah, and you're one of them. Did you know that? Yeah. This morning, I first of all want to start out by saying thanks to Paul in advance, because Paul is on projection this morning, and I haven't given him enough time to do his job well. I'm just going to say that. And I'm quite a spontaneous person, so I might add to his fun by just jumping all over the place. So he's got new technology. He didn't have the time to do it well. So I'm going to say big thanks to you, Paul, in advance. He's amazing. And that's a perfect way to introduce my message this morning. Today we are going to talk about thanks, because some of you like me like to ask God for a word for the year, and the word that God has given me is the word thanks. So this year I am on a personal journey of thanks, and I'm kind of going to try and invite my family along on this journey. But I want to encourage you in thanks and in thankfulness this morning, because as I've begun to look into this, I've just discovered how powerful thanks is. It's a simple little word that represents an act that is so often trivialized. Sometimes it's overlooked, and really it's regularly underrated. But it has the power to transform us in the midst of our circumstances. And so we're going to have a wee look into thanks. It's probably going back to the basics for some of you, but that's okay. Who knows that going back to the basics is often a very good thing. We're going to hear that one. Yeah. So we're going to talk about giving thanks. And really it's a key that we all need to be operating in, especially, I believe, in the time that we're in. I believe that the season that we're living in, we need to be a thankful people, because it's going to guard our hearts from everything else. So we're going to go there this morning. We're going to look at what it is and when we do it, why on heck for, and what benefit does it have for us. And most importantly, I want to leave you with some real practice on how we can activate and thinks in our lives. Because who knows, sometimes you can hear things, but then you've just heard them and you go away, you know? But if we actually put things into practice in our lives, which is what I'm going to try and do this year, then we can see the change, and we can see ourselves becoming not just a person who gives thanks, but becoming thankful people. Becoming people that have a heart of gratitude. And I believe that's what God has for each one of us. So, do you think we have that first slide, Paul? We'll see. The Bible tells us so much about, it doesn't matter if we don't need slides. I like things looking pretty, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't. It's all about what's in the heart, actually. What we will discover is, you know, thankfulness is actually what comes out of the heart, you know. And you can tell when it ain't coming out of the heart. Well, that was nice little words they said. Yeah. So there's heaps that the Bible has to say about thanks. Actually, it's talked about 102 times in the Old Testament and 71 times in the New Testament. Heaps on thanks. So much. And I love, as I've just kind of been looking into the actual word, because I kind of like doing that, I like going, actually, what does the Greek and the Hebrew actually mean? You know, one of the things is acknowledging what is right about God in praise and thanksgiving. And how cool is that in our circumstances? Thanks is actually acknowledging what is right about God in that time. So often we kind of focus on what is going on around about us, but thanks actually turns our focus back onto our Heavenly Father, where it really should be all the time anyway, which is cool. So genuine heartfelt things can be very, very simple. But it's so good to receive, isn't it? You know, when somebody thanks you and it's really genuine, it's really precious, You know, it really deepens connection. And some people, it really naturally flows out of them, doesn't it? Some people are really amazing at thanking people. And other people, they have to work on it. And that's okay. I think we can all work on it. One of the verses in the Bible about thanks is the one in Psalms chapter 100, verse 4 to 5. And it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations." That's on slide 2 if you want to check it up. Yeah. You know what? Thankfulness opens doors. Thankful, we know it does in the natural, doesn't we? Thankfulness opens doors. It opens doors of relationship. It opens doors of opportunity. But it opens doors in the spirit realm too. We don't have to do anything to have an access to our Heavenly Father. Because on the cross, Jesus did it. This is an Old Testament verse, but the principles are still there. We don't have to, like they do, go for and put out our praises and our offerings to enter into his presence, because Jesus did it all on the cross. He's just there for us all the time. He is always present for us. But when we open our heart and thanks, it postures us to receive his presence. Maybe a big word. It kind of puts us in the place where we're ready to receive all of who he is, because everything else has gone away. We're just focusing on who he is and his goodness. And I think that's awesome. So when do we praise? Number 3, when do we praise? Do you know what? I personally believe there is never not a good time to praise and give thanks. As soon as I wrote that down, I could hear a little voice in my head. Oh, yeah, but if, I think sometimes we need to be careful with how we give thanks. Because, you know, sometimes you can actually push buttons by being thankful, can't you? You all know we don't want to antagonize people with our thankfulness. Sometimes we just need to be thankful on the inside. And have that attitude of thanks, you know, because you can actually really stir up a situation. If somebody's feeling something really heavily, but that's not a reason not to give thanks, is it? I think it just becomes our posture, is that we are always thankful in a circumstance. David says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." That's number 4, thanks. You know, there's always time. You know, if you wake up in the night, find something to thank God for. Don't just be like, "Oh, why am I awake?" find something to thank God for, you know. There's always things to thank God about. And that kind of brings me on to the verse that I really want us to look at this week. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And probably that's going to be my life verse this year. That in everything I would give thanks to him. In everything I would be able to focus my fix upon him, no matter what is going on around about me. But everything? You can put the next one up. Because I think that's a question that we all have, eh? Really everything? Really, really? In everything can we posture ourselves in thanks? In everything can we really find ourselves in that place? I believe we can, because I think the Bible doesn't say give thanks for everything. And so often we read and we hear that scripture and we think that God is saying give thanks for everything. I just like to say, load of rubbish. I was going to say baloney. But God doesn't say give thanks for everything. He says, give thanks in everything. The verses in the Passion says, in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. In the midst of everything. Who knows what it's like to be in the midst of everything? Oh yeah, come on. Some of you are already in the midst of everything and we're in January. Do you know what I mean? Some of you, it's rolled over from last year. Some of you, last year's in the midst of everything. Well, we've all had in the midst of everything last year, haven't we? In the midst of everything, that is the most important time for us to be able to give thanks. It's blimmin' hard. But it comes out of when we actually have a heart that is thankful. Because it's not focusing on what is going on, but it is because we've got our focus on who our God is. Because who knows that circumstances can be blimmin' hard. But when our focus is on our God and who He is, it allows us to have this posture that can give thanks. And sometimes the very thing that you might be giving thanks for is just the fact that you've got breath. Some of you mightn't be very thankful that you've got breath. Some of you might wish that you didn't have breath, that you weren't here. That's so real. We're going to come across those people this year. But there's always something to find to be thankful for. Do you know what the most amazing thing is? That God is with me. God is with me. I'm in the midst of everything. But God is with me. It's that little word in. That's the next one, Paul. It's the little word in. In, in. You all have your in. Aye. Life is full of in. Jesus said, this is a verse that I love and I hate. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. The in. He's like, you're going to have it. Don't blame me for it. Actually, I want to encourage you. Don't blame God for your in. Life happens. Sometimes the in is pretty, yeah, in the midst. I want us to go to a couple of examples in the Bible where Jesus gave thanks in the midst, his in the midst of everything, and see what happened in the midst of things. The first one is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, and we may read it. It's the story of when he fed the 5,000. And you might kind of go, well, that's kind of not really a in the midst of kind of story. But I want to tell you it is, because this is the story. If you go to slide 11, Paul, we'll read the scripture. It says, when Jesus heard it, the context of the story is that Jesus had just heard that his cousin, John, had been beheaded. His cousin. Had his head lopped off. Sorry, kids. A little bit rated. And so he went away. He's like, I just need to get away. Who knows what that feels like? I just need to get away. And hang on, have I got my stories muddled up? No, yeah. He just wanted to get away from it all. And who knows what that feels like, you know? Sometimes I just need to get away, and I just need to, actually, I love what he did. I just need to be with my father. I just need to focus. And so he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. I quite like those places sometimes. And then just check out what happened. But when the multitudes heard it, multitudes, They followed him on foot from the cities. So Jesus is having his gorgeous by myself because I really need it time. And then multitudes turn up. Far out. Who knows who needs grace when that happens, eh? You're just in that space where you just need time by yourself. And I just need to recenter myself with God and all of it. Imagine it at your house. I mean, like, actually put yourself in this situation. Imagine you're in that moment. You're absolutely gutted. Your cousin's died. And you just need space by yourself. And then all of a sudden, thousands of people turn up at your house. It's pretty intense in the midst, isn't it? And so when Jesus, he was moved with compassion, though. It's beautiful. And he healed the sick. You know, no matter what, he was moved with compassion, he healed the sick. And then it wasn't just, it was all day long. It was all day long the people were there. And it says, when the evening had come, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food." In other words, we don't have anything for them. Send them all away. Let's sort this problem. And actually, you know what? Sometimes we belittle the disciples here, but remember they were his followers, and so they knew that Jesus had gone away for his space. They could have well been protecting him. You know, like, "Jesus, man, you've done awesome. Now it's time to just to send everybody home and let them sort out themselves." Do you know what I mean? And we'll just move on. You know, give yourself some space. But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." I love this. Now the disciples are in the midst. Yeah, now they are seriously in the midst. Because they're like, far out. There's no food here. It takes flipping ages to walk to get what we need. We don't have the money anyway. It would take half a year's wages. I'm in the midst. Right here. I'm in the midst. And there's one little boy there who his mum has been amazing and made him his lunch. He might have made his own, like in our house. Oh, actually, the father makes the lunch as well. Samuel makes his own lunch. He says, "We've only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay, so here we go. Thousands, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Thousand, you got it, eh? They're in the midst, the provision. How often do we find ourselves in those circumstances? Thousands, massive situation, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm stuck here in the midst. It doesn't compute. It doesn't compute. Jesus, you know. But Jesus just said, "Bring them here to me." And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And this is when he does the thing that is powerful. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and he thanked God for them. And he broke, I used the wrong translation, and broke and gave loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that remained. And then it goes on to tell you that those who had eaten were about 5,000 men beside the women and children. So he fed thousands. Do you think Jesus, why do you think Jesus took the things and just knew it was going to be? Because he knew his father. He knew that God's heart for those multitudes was to care for them. And so he could with confidence thank God for the provision. He didn't actually need to ask because he already knew that that was the father's heart for those people. Do you know what Thanksgiving did in that moment? It realigned, I believe, the disciples' perspective on where they were looking. for their provision. Because at that moment, they were looking to themselves to provide, right? But in that moment, when Jesus lifted it up to heaven and gave thanks, all of a sudden, everybody knew where the provision was going to come from. Some of them might have thought, if in fact it comes at all. Do you know what I mean? And that whole thing of giving thanks, sometimes when we lift up before our Father and give thanks for the little that we have, it changes our perspective and it realigns our perspective on where our provider is and where our source is. And it's not just on the little, but it's on the bigness of our God. Amen? It's so powerful. Mother Teresa says it like this, slide 16. When we have nothing left but God, we discover that God is enough. When we have nothing, I think it's slide 16. When we have nothing left but God, we discover that God is enough. Sometimes that discovery is really hard. You know, we read the story of feeding the 5,000, and it's a really cool story for us to read because it's a story of miraculous provision. But put yourself in the seat of one of the disciples for a minute and feel the weight of what it felt like. Jesus just told me I've got to feed over 5,000 people and I have this little lunch. Sometimes our life feels like that, doesn't it? I feel like I've got to move forward and I've just got this. It's when we have to give thanks for this and focus on Him and say, flip God, I have nothing left but this. But I know that You are enough. Powerful way. So let's go back to that verse because it's in everything give thanks. Slide 17, I'm pretty sure, Paul. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to just look at that little word give for a minute. Because Paul, I'm pretty sure it was Paul who wrote Thessalonians. He wasn't just saying, oh, you know what, it'd be really nice for you to give thanks in everything. That would be a really good thing to do. If you feel like it, it would be really lovely. It'll be really helpful for you. I think it'd be really good. That's not how he said it. Who knows that different ways people say things imply different things, right? We would tend to call it the tone. My boys know, my tones. Unfortunately, maybe some of you do too. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know, would somebody be able to go and take that rubbish out? That'd be really great. Can you please take that rubbish out? It's quite different, you know. It's like there's no negotiation here. This is what I want you to do. And when we look at this word give, it's actually a little bit like that. The tense is like, it's like right in the now, the voice is like, it's a real, you've got to do something, it's active. And the mood is actually imperative. I'm like, I don't really know if I want to share this, because it might be like a little bit full on. He was full on. He really was full on. He's like, it's imperative in the moment. It's like, and the Strong's kind of defines it. It says it expresses a command to the hearer to perform a certain action by the order and authority of the one commanding it. Now, this verse wasn't written by Jesus, but it was written by Paul, who understood principles. And he is basically saying, these aren't just fluffy words that I'm saying to you. This is what you need to do. give thanks. Give thanks. And I really feel in my spirit for this year, differently for me, because God has spoken it to me, that this isn't just a fluffy word that God has given me, but this is something that I have to do. I have to give thanks. I have to give thanks this year. I have to give thanks. And man, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's going to mean this year. I kind of got this sense in my spirit that sometimes giving thanks this year might not be an easy thing to do. But I'm going to focus my gaze on my God, and when I've only got a little bit, I'm going to give thanks anyway. And who knows, I might see a miracle. Because if we'd gone with the in the midst of the disciples, there would have been no miracle. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew what the heart of the Father was for the situation, to feed. God knows what the heart of God knows what his own heart is for my situation. He knows what his own heart is for your situation. And who knows that giving thanks might just unlock your miracle? Who knows that giving thanks might just put your heart in the right place that you can receive the miracle that he has for you this year? And I believe that we're going to need miracles this year. We're going to need miracles this year. Man, there's lots of things to give thanks for. We could go on to 19 things. And it's all very well to say that, but how do we do that? You know? How do you really give thanks? And what about when it hurts? What about when you don't feel it? You know that, eh? Flippin' don't feel very thankful at the moment. What about then? That's when we need each other. And that's when we need to be fixing our gaze. Fixing our gaze so clearly on our God. So clearly. And you know what? That's when we make a choice. A bit like what we say love. Love is a choice. You know, it's not a feeling. I quite like the love feelings, but they're not always there. Let's be real. Love is a choice. I choose every day to love. Sometimes people do things and I don't really feel like loving them for what they do, but I try to choose to love. It's the same with thanks. Sometimes I don't actually feel very thankful because actually my circumstances don't really provide me, I feel, with enough things to be thankful for. Think about that. You actually probably don't have to think about it for very long. There's lots of times when our circumstances don't provide us with much to be thankful for. Abab. We've seen these people do that. When your son is holding on his life, but you've still got your eyes fixed on the one who gives life. Powerful. And we saw a miracle. Could you hold on? And you kept your eyes there. It's when we make a choice, in those moments. It's when we make a choice to give thanks, when we don't feel it. It's the times when we choose to see the goodness of God in our circumstances, because God is always good. God is always good. My circumstances might not say it, but God is always good. He is always faithful. It might not look like it at the moment, but God is always faithful. And just like this quote says, gratitude and attitude are not challenges, they are choices. They're choices that we make. You know, we don't always feel that God, the faithfulness of God, but the truth remains that He is faithful. We don't always feel like we feel the goodness of God or we see it in our life, but God is good. The truth remains, God is good. And I feel like this year, there might be times when we don't always feel like we're seeing in our circumstances and what we're living, all those things. But we have to hold on to what the truth is. Are we going to live our lives by our circumstances or by the truth of God? I know where my life is going to be better. I know which way is easier to live. Oh yeah, it's way easy to get swept into your circumstances, isn't it? But when we can hold on to the truth, that's powerful. And that's our choice. We choose to look beyond our circumstances and to thank Him for our very breath. We choose to lift our eyes off what's around about us, our disappointments, and thank Him anyway. Gratitude is a way for people and for each one of us to appreciate what we have instead of always looking for something else. Always reaching for something new in the hopes that it'll make us happy. Do you know what? You're not going to find happiness in stuff. And I believe last year a lot of us discovered where our security was in those kind of things. Because actually we thought our security was in God and His provision, but actually we discovered that actually we had quite a little bit of security in our job. And in the life that we'd built, and then all of a sudden the rug got pulled out from under our feet and we discovered it weren't there anymore, and that our faith and our security had shifted. Sometimes it just happens really subtly. It shifted instead of from Him to the things we had and the things we were living in. God wants us as a people so secure that our everything is in Him. And you know what? It's a real easy thing for me to say that to you. Sometimes living it out is really hard. There's one other time that I want to go back to that Jesus gave a real example of giving thanks, and that was with Lazarus. His friend Lazarus. His mate. His friend Lazarus had died. And took Jesus a few days to get there. But he arrived there, and you know what he did? He was gutted. Jesus always had his eye on the Father, but what it says is when he arrived, it says Jesus wept. Jesus was totally in the moment. He was totally in the midst. And I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of have this fake belief that we, you know, that if we're really being good Christians, we don't feel it, you know, we won't feel all that stuff because we'll just be like happy, happy, joy, joy all the time and all that sort of thing. Jesus wept. He felt the full gravity of his friend. He felt the full gravity of the grief of Martha and Mary. Oh, the full, and the accusations of people as well. Like, it wasn't just like my friends died. It was like, yeah, and if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have. How many of you have been in that situation? Well, if you'd have been there, we wouldn't find ourselves in this mess. He felt it all. He didn't deny it all. And I think that's a really important thing for us to do, is to totally be present in the things. It's not easy. Such a lovely message, isn't it? Such a fluffy, happy, and nah. As the rubber hits the road, give thanks, man. when life is yucky, give thanks. Not for the yucky. Give thanks for him that he's there. What I want to say to you this year, and what I want to say for my year, is like, God, I don't want any yucky to rob me of life. We were singing songs before. This is what freedom looks like. That freedom is living the fullness of what God has for us. He says, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. That's what he says he has for us. But he also says that there will be troubles. And what I believe he's saying is, if you hold on to me in the midst of all those troubles, you're gonna be keeping your head up. You're not going to be sinking. Just like Peter, he walked. So let's give thanks and keep our... allow thanks to realign our perspective onto the one who is God in our situation. Yeah? After Jesus had totally felt everything of the situation there with Lazarus, he said, this slide 10, and it's really, I've got it really little, John 11, verse 41. Before he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he gave thanks. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I love that. I know that you always hear me. Some of you, this might need to be your scripture for this year. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. And then Jesus said, but because of all the people who are standing by, I say this, that they might believe you sent me. And then he called him forth. And what happened? Lazarus came out of the tomb. Awesome. Death came to life because Jesus called the God back into the situation. Jesus called life back into Lazarus's body. So amazing. I know that you have heard me, and I know that you always will hear me. That thankfulness of that. You know what Jesus was doing in that moment? He was positioning everybody else to focus on the Father. His thankfulness focused everybody else's gaze on the Father. Sometimes your thankfulness in a situation is going to refocus people back on the Father. And they're going to need it. It's like what Paulette said in the worship. You know, we're not just singing thanks and praise for ourselves. It can change generations. Some of you, your little five loaves and fishes, when you give thanks to it and you see the miracle come, might change generations. Because people come to faith because they see the goodness of God when they think there is absolutely no way that that could possibly happen. But God. Thankfulness, woohoo, can unlock things in people, can change people's hearts. It's really awesome. It's our choice. If you go to slide 21, it says, he who offers a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his ways rightly, who follows the way that I show him, I shall show the salvation of God. That's in Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. I love it in the Passion. It says, the life that pleases me is a life lived in gratitude of grace, always choosing to walk with me in what is right. That's powerful, isn't it? Always choosing. This is a sacrifice I desire from you. And if you do this, more of my salvation will unfold for you. Oh, so cool, isn't it? If we magnify blessings as much as we magnify disappointments, we would all be much happier. So I didn't say that. Somebody else did. What was, who said that? That's the next one, number 23. His name was John Wooden. Oh, maybe it's not that. But that's a good thing too. Now and then it's good to pause in our pursuit of happiness and just be happy. Yes, it's a big Salah moment, isn't it? Some of us are so focused on being happy and what's not happening to make us happy. We just need to be happy. Check out a child. Honestly, just check out a child, man. They're just like, woo! Here we are. This is awesome. You know? The most classic one is you take them on a long walk and they're like, oh, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Then we arrive at the beach. And I can't walk any further all the way along the walk. I can't walk any further. I can't do it. Can you carry me? You arrive at the beach and all of a sudden, woohoo! We're here. It's like they get this infusion of energy that they didn't have before, you know. I think sometimes we kind of need that, you know. Yeah, I digress. You know what? If the Word of God isn't enough for you to stand on in giving thanks, I want to tell you that people have done research on it. Yeah, they have. They've actually done some research. There are two psychologists and plenty more in California have done some great research on it. And they asked participants to write a few sentences each week, just focusing on particular topics. And they found that when they did that, their lives changed. And there's loads of different studies on it. Most of the studies published on the topic support an association between gratitude and an individual's well-being. So if you don't do it for any other reason, do it for yourself. It's kind of selfish, but you know. Thankfulness actually works. Developing a heart of gratitude actually works. There's one cool thing they discovered, that individuals who took the time to express gratitude for their partners not only felt more positive towards the other person, but also felt more comfortable expressing concerns about their relationship. And also managers who remembered to say thank you to the people who work for them found that their employers seemed to feel more motivated to work harder. Now it works. It works. Do you know why? Because it's a God principle. It really is. It works. It's just them working out that what God says is true. Yeah. Thankfulness works. So true. There's a cool little quote, I think it's on slide number 25, Paul, that says, it isn't what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but what you have in your heart. It's not what you have in your pocket, because we could always do with more in our pocket, right? Oh, well, maybe you're sweet. Maybe you're sweet. But generally, we could always do with a little more in the pocket. It's what we have in our heart that makes us thankful. And that's really cool. Do you know what I want to say to you? Thankfulness actually guards your heart. It guards your heart from bitterness. It guards your heart from selfishness. It guards your heart from greed. It guards your heart from jealousy. You know what? It's a real good cleaner. It really is a very good cleaner. And we are told to guard our hearts. So why not try thankfulness? That's what I'm going to try this year. Because actually, out of what is in our heart is what we speak anyway. Really, it is. So that's all really nice stuff for me to say to you. But how? How? How do we cultivate in ourselves a heart of gratitude? How do we do it when it's really hard? Do you know what I want to suggest to you? That I think we've got to do it daily. I think we've got to daily check our hearts. And you can't develop this sort of stuff in the big things. Your muscles have got to get working. you don't just kind of run a marathon without trying a few small, well, some people do, but yeah. Daily, we've got to check our hearts. I just wrote down some things. They're not all my ideas. They're from all over the place. Write a journal. Write a journal of thankfulness. See, the warehouse have got a gratitude journal at the moment, if you're into that sort of thing. If you're not into writing, you know, I'm really good at starting something like that. And then, maybe fill a jar. This is a cool idea. Grab a jar and as a family, have some little piece of paper. Write the things that you're thankful for. Then at the end of the year, or when things are pretty in the midst, pull some of those things out and read them. And remind yourself of what God has done and why you're thankful and why you could actually be thankful now when we're in the midst again. What about make a thankfulness display? Some of you might be into all the other things like that, but you might be able to collect things that remind you of His faithfulness. It might be a stone from a place that just reminds you of just, wow, man, God, you're amazing. I'm just going to put that there. Or it might be a nice, you know, and when you see those things, thank God. You know? What about writing a thank you note? Do you know what? In studies, they've found that the effects of writing a thank you note to a person can last for a month.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. Write a thank you note to somebody. Write a thank you note to yourself. That would be a challenge. That might happen in November for me. No, just write a thank you letter to God. You know, and if you can't pick up the pen, you don't have time to pick up the pen, thank somebody mentally. Just spend a moment and in your mind think about a person and go, man, that person is amazing. Man, I'm so grateful to have them in my life. Man, they're absolutely, man, my husband is amazing. I am so grateful to have him in my life. He is so ordered. He's actually the king of the washing in our house. I know. I'm like, it's a little bit embarrassing, but because it's sort of like almost a role reversal, you know, in this day and age, you know. But he's amazing. Just think about the people. And then if you can, tell them, because that's awesome. Or better still, tell somebody else. So they hear from somebody else what you said about them. That's cool. That's cool. What about put on some songs that thank God and tell of His goodness and then just start singing them? You know, this morning we had all the songs on my bucket list. Well, not my bucket list, but on my, you know, like, give thanks, man. Read the Psalms. Those are great. David's like, man, life is hard. This is really hard. But yet will I praise you, my God and my King. That's so real, the Psalms. Write your own Psalm. Man, God, I don't know. It feels like everybody's my enemy. Da, da, da. But I know you are God. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's not denying that in the midst. It's being thankful for the God who is in the midst with you. We don't have to do this alone. How cool is that? It's very cool. Check your heart. We've said that. What about counting your blessings? Yeah, I'm a spontaneous girl, so some of these we'll see. Meditate on His goodness. We can all do that. Just think about His goodness in your life and cultivate it. Do you know why we need to do that every day? Because you don't know when you need that muscle built up and strong. You don't know when you need it until you find yourself in the midst. And all of a sudden, you go, actually, I need to be able to just do that. Memorize verses about thanks. Memorize them. And let them drop into your spirit till they become a part of them. And pray. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the amazing holiday that we've just been able to have. Thank you that even though it rained, we got to see the best waterfalls. Thank you for the rain because the people before us didn't see the waterfalls. There's always something we can thank him for, eh? Keep checking your heart. Is my attitude gratitude? If not, what needs to change? And what do I need to focus on? Do I need to re-go up there? You know? However you do it, keep a record somewhere of the things you're grateful for. Because later on, they could become a memorial or they could become ammunition. And this is what I feel this year. Our thankfulness could become some very serious ammunition against despondency, bitterness, all those things. They'll remind us of his faithfulness, what God has done before. And some of you, I really feel, are going to have days that you need to be able to see written in your own handwriting the things that you're thankful for. To remind yourself. Because it's not just what Ruth said, but I've seen it myself. I've seen it myself. And it doesn't have to be big things. It can be little things. Let's practice focusing on the good and looking for the God in the situations. Because you know what? God is always there. If you don't look for him, you might not see him. I just want to finish with a couple of quotes. Number 27. It's a funny thing about life. Once you begin to take note of the things you're grateful for, you begin to lose sight of the things that you lack. Well, what about this? Enjoy the little things, for one day you may look back and realize they were the big things. One more. Gratitude turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity, and it makes sense of our past and brings peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow. So cool, eh? Who's going to give thanks this year? Who's going to go on a journey of thanks? Let's be people that are known for our thankfulness. Let's be people who are known for our gratitude. Because our God is a good God. Amen? Awesome. And now you're going to thank me that I'm finished. Ha ha!
I didn't know she was going to hand me the mic. Well, that was a great message. It's a great message. And I'll report back to you week by week how she's doing. I got the mic. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Come on. We got to finish.
Do you know what? But do check up on me. Please. Because if you see me and I'm not doing that, do, because we can all help out each other in this, you know, because if I'm in the moment and it's really hard, that's when I have to stop and find the things to be thankful for. And if you see that I'm not, feel free to just go give thanks. I might slip, no, I won't slap you. No. But you know, Maynard, let's help each other, because our nature hasn't been to do that, has it? But I think God wants to rebirth a new nature within us that is a people that are people of thanks.
Good. Excellent. And on that note, we shall end. Thank you for coming this morning. There's tea and coffee and water and stuff in there. Fellowship, spend time together. You might see somebody that you want to thank them for something. And that would be awesome. You're going to have an opportunity now. Great. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week.